I want to take as my text this morning the first five verses of our psalm for today, Psalm 42, I should say. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 554. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5, which I'd like us to read so it's fresh in our minds. Beginning at verse 1, in which the psalmist says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, who is my salvation and my God." This morning I want to talk about what to do when God seems far away. What to do when God seems far away. Indeed, sometimes God can seem far away. And God seemed far away to the psalmist, and as is clear from our text, he didn't like it one bit. And that was because God was everything to him. Indeed, notice again verses 1 and 3. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, 'Where is your God?'" And so the psalmist says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, panting for water, like an animal, is descriptive of intense personal longing. And it's not just a matter of desire and longing, but a matter of life itself. Indeed, the deer can't live without water and is desperate until it finds it. And what the psalmist is saying is that he can't live without God. It made me think of the words of Martin Buber in his famous book, I and Thou. He said that you need God more than anything is something that you know at all times in your heart. And so the psalmist says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And note that the psalmist calls God the living God. That is, the God who is himself alive and who is life and who is the source of all life and who is the very ground of our own existence and who imparts abundant life to all those who seek him. This is the God that the psalmist longs for. And then the psalmist asks the question, and when shall I come and appear before God? Now, interestingly enough, I mean, what does that mean, and what does the context tell us about that? In verse 6, the psalmist suggests that he's located far in the north country, somewhere near Mount Hermon, which is, if you could stand in the north there, you can see Mount Hermon, you can see Lebanon, it's way to the north. And far removed from Jerusalem and the temple, which is in the south of the country. And then in verse 10, the psalmist says that he's suffering from a deadly wound. In fact, we don't know exactly what that is, whether he sustained an injury in battle or somebody attacked him or maybe some sort of open sore or something on the surface of his body. But whatever this is, this may suggest why he's unable to make his pilgrimage to the temple. He's so far away and he's sick. to the temple in Jerusalem, where at that time God's special presence was experienced. That is to say that he is unable to go because he's physically unable to do so. And because he's suffering and unable to travel, and because there are people who are ridiculing him and his faith in God, who this God who seems to them to have abandoned him. Where now is your God? And because of all this, God seems so far away. And so the psalmist asks, when shall I come and appear before God? And he continues in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Or as Peterson puts it in the Message, I have tears for breakfast and I have tears for dinner. Indeed, describing his tears as his food day and night may suggest that he's completely lost his appetite, that he's too upset to eat real food, and that because God seems so far away. And so the psalmist says, my tears have been my food day and night, and that while they say to me all day long, continuously, where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? Or as we have it in the New Living Translation, where is this God of yours? And so God seemed far away to the psalmist. And perhaps we also know something of this and what it feels like when God seems far away, when troubles come, and even when we pray, God feels far away, and the troubles continue, and perhaps even become worse. In fact, this may describe your own situation today, and perhaps you can very much relate to what the psalmist is saying. And so sometimes God can seem far away. And so what are we to do when God seems far away? Well, with the psalmist as our example, perhaps there's two things that we can do. And the first thing that we can do is to look back with joy. That is to say, to look back with joy and remember God when he didn't seem far away. Remembering God when he was close and you could sense it. Remembering God when he was blessing you in some very obvious way. And that's what the psalmist does. Indeed, notice again verse 4. These things I remember, even as I'm pouring out my soul, how, as it relates to worship, I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, to the temple, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude of us all together, keeping festival. And so the psalmist says, I remember these things even as I pour out my soul, or as we have it in the New Living Translation, even while my heart is breaking. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival, as we have it in the Message, I was always at the head of the worshiping crowd, right out in front, leading them all, eager to arrive and worship. And of course, all of this is a reference to pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem with glad shouts like, Hosanna! Lord save and the Lord be praised! And Hallelujah! Which means, praise be to Yahweh God. And with songs of praise, the psalmist says, such as the songs of ascent, as we have them in the book of Psalms, Psalms 121 through 134, that were sung by pilgrims as they were making their way up to Jerusalem, which sits high up, some 2,500 feet above sea level, as they're making their way up to Jerusalem into the temple for festival. Indeed, as you may very well know, and we've rehearsed this when we were on the day of Pentecost not so many weeks ago, that there are three major festivals that devout Israelites went to the temple in Jerusalem to observe, namely Passover, which was associated with the barley harvest, and Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which was associated with the wheat harvest, and Tabernacles in the fall, which was associated with the grape and olive and fig harvests. And of course, visits to the temple were not limited to these festivals, and depending on how close one lived to the temple, a devout Israelite might go more, and probably it wouldn't be a stretch to imagine that the writer of this psalm might have gone to temple as often as he could. And so that's the first thing. When God seems far away, we can look back with joy when the times were good. The second thing that we can do when God seems far away is to look forward with hope. To look forward with hope, knowing that what God has done in the past, God can do again in our future. And allowing that truth to draw us forward, even as we're faithfully waiting for God to do it. Indeed, notice again verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, soul! Hope in God, for I shall again praise him who is my salvation and my God. This is what we sometimes call self-talk. Which is something, by the way, you may not have thought about this, is something that you do all the time anyway. Nietzsche, in his famous book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, Nietzsche said, I and me are always in conversation. Or Paul David Tripp put it this way, no one is more influential in your life than you, because no one talks to you more than you do. The only question is what do you say to yourself when you're talking to yourself? And does what you say to yourself encourage faith and hope in God? And so the psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God! For I shall again praise him who is my salvation and my God. Someone has written that optimism is the belief that things will always get better. Hope, on the other hand, is the confident expectation that no matter what happens, in the end, good will prevail and God's purposes will be fulfilled. I've, in the past, talked about who was my favorite professor when I was studying at Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Hanna. I think he's now a professor emeritus, and he taught there for decades. He held two doctor's degrees, one in theology and one in philosophy. He was a historical theology professor, and he started his lectures always the same way every day, no matter what the subject was related to historical theology. So we would all be in there and waiting for him to come, and he would come and he wouldn't say anything. He'd go over and he'd take off his sport jacket or suit coat and hang it over a chair, and then he would, still no words, and then he would roll the sleeves up on, and then he would step forward to the lectern and give us the nugget. Something that he was thinking about or whatever. It didn't have anything necessarily directly related to what he was going to lecture on that day, but he would give us the nugget, and we would all just like, okay, what's he gonna say? And one day I wrote it down, he said it. And this is what he said. Christianity is not what it is because it provides an answer for every question, but because when there are no answers, it offers a person that we can trust, and that person is Jesus. Christianity is not what it is because it provides an answer for every question, but because when there are no answers, it offers a person that we can trust. And that person is Jesus. Anyway, something to think about when God seems far away. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. If memory serves, Lord, it was M. Scott Peck who started his book, The Road Less Traveled. Life is hard. And it is. And it's messy, and it's sometimes we just don't hardly know what to do with the world and the things that are happening around us, or when it becomes so personal. And we wonder, Lord, what are you doing? And if you need some advice, I think I can make some suggestions how to make this better. I'm here, and I'm in pain. And for some reason, the details of which are unbeknownst to us, the world is the way that it is. And this is the present age, and there is an age coming. And somewhere or another, the age as it is present will provide what is necessary for the perfection of the age that is yet to come. Which is true not only of the time-space continuum, but also true in what you are doing very intimately in our own lives. We love the Psalms, Lord, because they're so much like life itself. The psalmists wrestle with you and how close we have to get to you. To wrestle with you. And you let us wrestle. And you let us suffer. But then also you guide and you enlighten and you cheer us. And even in the midst of our struggles, you strengthen our faith and give us hope. For these things, Lord, we're thankful. And we pray, Lord, that we would never turn our back on you. You who love us so much, you rather die than live without us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.